You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today I have, my standard introduction. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button and send money. That's always important because RBN is the your guarantee of free speech. And also nationalbugle.com, where you can download the Kosher-tified app and start leading a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. NKC, non-kosher-certified. And I have with me a non-kosher-certified guest, Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's fantastic to be back. Another great start to the week, and I had a very interesting weekend. In fact, for me, it was a fantastic weekend.
I heard
did
you.
On Fash the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Great show, absolutely wonderful, wonderful hosts, and a great way, I recorded it on the Saturday, a great way for me to spend my Saturday.
Well, it was a great way for me to spend my Sunday listening to it. I heard the show. You know, it's a good show, and it's good that it's good that you're getting around. And of course, you had the big debate about 10 days ago or so, a week and a half ago, and that's still echoing around a bit. People are still talking about that. Fast the Nation. Of course, you know, Fast the Nation is, if all of these shows are kind of international, but you know, Fast the Nation's based in America. And so you're on with Jazz Hands and Ethnarch. Ethnarch was making some points about George Wallace. I don't know, the presidential candidate from 50 years ago. I don't know how familiar you were with George Wallace.
I'm not really. No, I wasn't. One thing that was really interesting in talking to those guys was they're so well versed in American politics, and a lot of it was a bit of an education for me as well.
Well, then of course, Enoch Powell and Mosley,
Oswald Mosley.
Mosley.
Oh, yes.
Was that who you all were talking about?
Yeah, we talked about
and played a clip
was
from
about Sir Oswald Mosley.
Oswald Mosley.
They did mention,
right,
Enoch Powell as well.
Yeah, and they played a clip from Oswald Mosley, and you know, it's interesting. You hear these people from 50, sometimes 60 years ago, and what is the word? Premonient, or you know, they read the future fairly accurately. You hear some of these people. They played James Eastland, a senator from Mississippi, a clip of him 60-something years ago, last week. And, of course, sometimes you hear, George Lincoln Rockwell, and you hear these speeches from 50 years ago. And there were people who could see what was coming. Of course, David Duke could see what was coming. He's still around. It's really interesting. And then, of course, you have the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Whoever wrote that, probably, I guess somebody who worked for the Tsar, but whoever it was, seemed to be pretty keyed into what was going to happen in the future. I don't know. I'm just mentioning that. It's interesting listening to these shows and these people who had a sense of what was going on in the future. What do you see in our future?
Well, I think people like Sir Oswald Mosley were very, very prophetic. I mean, they seemed to predict quite accurately what was going to happen. And I think if you go back to that time and you start reading and looking at different articles or reading books from the time, you can see people actively predicted, and very accurately predicted as well, what was going to happen to us as a people. And I think looking back now, you have to say the people at the time didn't listen. The people at the time didn't listen at all. Now, obviously, if we had a time machine, I think if we could go back to the 1930s and say to the people of Britain, this is what Britain will become if you go to war with Germany, I don't think anyone would have had a lust for war. I think people would have sat on their hands. I think people would have rebelled against the idea of war. And it's very interesting because we do face a similar problem today. We, as truth tellers, we as people who campaign against the horrible things that are happening now to the Western world, we are constantly trying to explain to people what is going to happen, that things are going to get worse, that the Western world is in decline, that our civilization is under attack. Now, we are doing all of that. We are constantly speaking out against the threats posed to our society. And often, we get laughed at. Often, we get dismissed. We get ignored by the masses, much in the same way that people like Sir Oswald Mosley were ignored by the masses. But everything they said came to pass, and I'm pretty sure that if things don't change, everything that we are saying now will also come to pass. And really what we're talking about now is probably, well, definitely a huge acceleration of the problems that people like Sir Oswald Mosley talked about. Well, now, the interesting thing about this is I think if you went back in time and showed people like Sir Oswald Mosley just how bad things have become, I think it would possibly shock even them. But more interestingly, I think they would be surprised that society hasn't collapsed yet, because the level of degeneracy and madness and mass immigration we're seeing now, it is amazing that the wheels are still staying on the wagon.
Well, here's the thought. So you said if you went back and asked people, would you want to go to war with Germany if you know this is what would happen? And, of course, it's not just that going to war with Germany led to Britain losing its colonies. It led to Britain being conquered by its colonies, right? I mean, demographically.
No, of course. I mean, it was quite interesting, actually, because you talk about us being sort of essentially conquered or colonized by our own colonies, and that's exactly what happened. At the end of the Second World War, the British Empire collapsed spectacularly. I believe at the time that was something that the other guy predicted. It's something that the leader of Germany at the time predicted. He said, you know, Britain will end up fighting this war and it'll end up costing Britain more than she ever believed it could or would cost her. And indeed it did. The British Empire collapsed. And in a final sort of, in its final death throes, in almost a final moment of madness, Britain then said, although we're giving these colonies back, we are giving all of those who were part of these colonies a chance to have a British passport and come to stay in Britain. And obviously, that was complete madness. It granted these people citizenship, and it allowed them to come and live here. And now, we are living in a day and age where these people believe they have a rightful claim to the British Isles. They have a rightful claim to land here, almost as if they have a birthright. When in fact they don't, because they are not indigenous to these lands, and those who were once colonized now become colonizers. But the interesting thing about that process is when we were the ones who were creating colonies, when we were the colonizers, when those from the West went and colonized other lands, we brought with us huge, huge benefits. We brought with us innovations, we brought with us medical, written languages, education. We brought with us infrastructure, clean running water, stable farming techniques, agriculture. We brought with us everything. However, despite us enriching those nations, we are now seen as demons, as devils, as people who went there as sort of thieves and murderers, when that's not the case. However, on the opposite side, the reverse side, those who are native to those colonies, those who are indigenous to those colonies, are now coming to the West colonizing the West, and we are being told they are enriching the West. They enrich Britain. They make it a better place. They make it multicultural and diverse, and they bring with them all of these wonderful things that make Britain a better place.
Carry out.
When in fact that's a complete lie. So it's almost like reality has been flipped on its head. When we were colonizers, we did wonderful things for our colonies, and we genuinely did enrich them. We gave them more than we took. However, we are now the devils for doing that, and we are the oppressors. However, when they come here, they bring with them this wealth of problems, these horrible, horrible traits and behaviors and attitudes that destroy our nation. Yet we are told that is in fact enrichment and is making our lives much better. And I think when you put it into that perspective, you can see that this reverse colonization, if you were, is basically one of the greatest PR tricks ever played. Because essentially they have convinced a noble, wonderful, high culture that they will... that the people of that culture can enrich themselves and improve their culture by bringing people to their lands who are anything but a noble, high and rich culture. And the death of the West is being brought about largely because of that PR stunt. And that's something that was predicted by people like Sir Oswald Mosley. It is something that's only going to get worse. But we have a monumental task on our hands to turn this around, because really the big issue here is if Western civilization does fall, if this, you know, reverse colonization does continue, ultimately, well, it is my opinion anyway, that everything of high culture and beauty in the West will eventually be destroyed because of that reverse colonization.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's being destroyed already. So let's take a bit of an assessment where we are. So there are a lot of what the Israelis call facts on the ground, and how much of the facts on the ground wind up becoming water under the bridge, I don't know, but let's look at them. So you've got, obviously you've got all these people. You've got all these people here who weren't here 50 years ago. Their ancestors weren't here 50 years ago. For the United States, that is at least a quarter of the population, I'm pretty sure, wasn't here and didn't have their ancestors here 50 years ago. It's at least a quarter of the population, and of course, probably maybe even 30% of the population. We went from 200 million 50 or so years ago to over 300 million now, and that very little of that is an increase in white people. There's been a doubling of the black population, partly through immigration, but mostly through natural increase. And then, of course, there's been maybe 80 to 100 million people who are here due to immigration. So that's huge. And, you know, Britain has numbers, proportionally similar numbers, and some other countries are getting there. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect, of course, is the psychological facts on the ground, what you were just referring to, people having been more or less brainwashed into thinking that this is a good thing or that it's inevitable. Or maybe it's not a good thing, but we deserve it because we've been very naughty. And so when you have a combination of people who have a vested interest in staying here, and wanting to stay here, and then among those whose ancestors were here 50 years ago, having been psychologically conditioned to accepting this for one reason or another, and in some cases benefiting from the status quo because they're doing well, and if they were to raise their voices, they might lose some of their well-being. So that's a lot. So the question is, okay, those are the facts on the ground. How much is water under the bridge? How much can be reversed? Because people can move. People are moving living things. They are movable. They do move. and they moved here on their own, so they can move back. It's not easy, though. And, of course, people can change their minds, but, again, that's not always easy either. So that's the question. And I know you've got some answers. So the question is, how much can be done? How much needs to be done? You know, what's the minimum requirement? We probably can't get back to 1960. Can we get back to 1985? And is that good enough?
Well, I think the first thing that you pointed out that I find really interesting is this contradiction on the left, where one minute they're like, well, these people make our lives better. And then when we point out, well, actually, they're not making our lives better, they're making it worse. Oh, well, we deserve it. We deserve it. And it's quite interesting how the left pivots so quickly from saying that, well, why are you complaining? What are you saying these terrible things for? These people are enriching us. And then seconds later it's, well, actually, you deserve all the horrors they bring here because of the horrors that your ancestors committed. But I think when you say, how do we get back to where we were and exactly where do we want to get back to? I think that's a very interesting question. I think I'm going to start by answering it from something that I discussed actually in my debate with the Israel Advocacy Movement. Now, the Israel Advocacy Movement argued that basically Israel was not an ethno-state. They argued that Israel wasn't an ethno-state because about 75% of people in Israel are Jews and about 25% are different minority groups, of which the largest minority group is, of course, Arabs. So about 75% of Israel are Jews and 20% are Arabs. And that was their argument. Israel isn't an ethno-state, and I made it up. I was being rather erroneous by calling Israel an ethno-state. Now, that's a very interesting position. But when you look at Israel and you call it an ethno-state, it's not just the percentages of the population that make something an ethno-state. You know, and that's something that people like to get bogged down in, isn't it? You know, when we argue with people who debate in bad faith, they often say, well, what do you want? Is it 98%? Is it 99%? Is it 90%? Come on, give us an arbitrary figure. What makes it an ethno-state? Well, when you look at the state of Israel, there is a law called the Nation... It's a new law. It was passed, or relatively new law. It's called the Nation State of the Jewish People. And that Israeli law has several basic principles. And I'll read those. Three basic principles. A, the land of Israel is the historical homeland of the Jewish people in which the state of Israel was established. B, the state of Israel is the nation state of the Jewish people in which it realizes its natural, cultural, religious and historical right to self-determination. C, the exercise of the right to national self-determination in the state of Israel is unique to the Jewish people. Now, when you take that all in, that's a law which seeks to empower the Jewish people in the state of Israel. It seeks to hold them up above all others. So essentially, if the Arab population surged to 30% and the Jewish population dropped to 65%, that wouldn't make Israel any less of an ethno-state. In fact, the fact that Israel is an ethno-state is enshrined in that nation-state law. And I think the first step for Western nations is to enshrine in their constitutions that those nations belong to the indigenous people. Bills of rights for the indigenous people are the first things that must be passed on the road to an ethno-state. And I would obviously like to see Britain become as homogenous and European as possible, as British as possible. But I'm not going to get precious over the figures. If today, on my way home, I got given... I know we're coming up on the break, so just this deal after...
Well, we are up on our first break, so we will come back after the break, and we've got more to say.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. So you were talking about passing some sort of legislation designating, Britain to the British people, to the ancestral
yes.
British people.
But what I was going to say was, if tonight, after this show, I was on my way home and a magical flash of light dazzled me, and I found myself to be in the presence of an angel who had a deal for me. And that deal was that I would wake up tomorrow and Britain would be an ethno-state. It would be a state for the indigenous people of these islands. However, the indigenous people of these islands would only ever make up 95% of the population. And they would always only ever make up 95% of the population. And that would be a fixed figure. There would always be 5% of minorities living in this country. Would I deal at that percentage? Yes, I would. Yes, I would, because I think we're at a point now where things have gone so far that things have gone so far down the road of multiculturalism and multiracialism that unpicking that completely would be impossible. And all of those who sort of get into this navel-gazing kind of discussion or debate that we should be going for 99.9% or even 100% and every last one must go and all of this, I really see those people as LARPers. I see these people as fantasists. I don't think they're actually seriously, wanting to solve these problems. I don't think they seriously want to win. I think they want to talk about things. I think they want to make a big fuss, and I think they want to make very partisan points within our movement and cause lots of problems every time anyone suggests any pragmatic route to victory, such as the one that I'm doing right now, but they don't actually want to win. And I talked a bit about this on Fash the Nation, because I talked about people who turn up at meetings and they argue either very hardline points or present themselves in a way which is completely unacceptable to the public, claiming that one day the public will have to turn to us because they will have no choice. And I said that that's not going to be the case. You know, in fact, we have to moderate what we do. We have to present what we do in a much more palatable way, and that's our goal. But one point I made about these people who were like, it has to be 100% or nothing, these are the people that always come out with rhetoric such as, if it came to it, if the war started tomorrow, if it all kicks off, if everything goes to hell in a handcart tomorrow, I'll be on the front line. I'll be the first one over the top, the first one out of the trenches. I won't hesitate to sign up and fight for my beliefs. And these people always have this really, really great way of talking about what they would do if literally the worst came to the worst, and that there's nothing they wouldn't do for victory in those circumstances. But the one thing they won't do for victory in the here and now is actually act in a sensible manner, be pragmatic, and present themselves in a way that is acceptable to the general public. And I think when we talk about this ethno-state, we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic, and we also have to be open to the fact that there are a great number of people in Western nations who now have some members of their family, they have some members of extended family or friendship groups who aren't of European descent. And we also have to be quite clear in that not every single person who isn't of European descent has done terrible things in the West. In fact, if somebody said to me tomorrow, there's a very talented Japanese brain surgeon who wants to fly into the UK and work here and perform life-saving surgery on British children, I, of course, would not be opposed to that. What we are opposed to is mass uncontrolled immigration of people who are so ethnically, culturally different to us that it will never work. And I think if we put sensible laws into practice, if we had our own nation state laws, if we actually stopped pandering to these migrants, and if we offered them healthy resettlement grants, I think we could turn back the tide. I think with this voluntary repatriation, we could repatriate millions of people from Western nations back to their lands of origin. And I think we could turn around this demographic nightmare. And that's absolutely possible. But we can only do that if we seek pragmatic and sensible means. If we constantly hold out for some unthinkable 100% plan, which is absolutely ideologically sound on every level, we will be waiting forever and we will never achieve our goals. And there is always a certain degree of compromise. And you would have to say, of any nation on the planet, Israel is the most successful ethno-state. It's the most successful state where individual people are put first within the land they have chosen to be their homeland. And I think if we pass nation-state laws, that would be the first step towards our ethno-states.
Okay. Well, I have some comments and questions about this. I'm going to save them for the other side of the break, but I think everybody's going to find them really fascinating and interesting.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. republic.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so, we're talking about what's desirable, what's feasible, what's doable. And one, you know, I don't know if this is really a great analogy, but sometimes I think of, you know, you're trying to get a kid to eat his vegetables or do his homework or whatever. And sometimes they want to negotiate everything. Before they take a bite, before they do anything, they want to say, if I do this much, will you get me this? If I do this much, can I do that? And sometimes, often, you just want to say, well, tell you what, you do this, and when you're done, then we'll talk about it. Is that a good analogy? I don't know, but I think sometimes in life, you have to work at things, not knowing exactly what the reward's going to be, what the outcome's going to be. You have to put in the effort first, and then you have to see. And, there's a lot of policies you talk about, and we don't know exactly if you put in an incentive scheme for people who aren't assimilating and aren't assimilable and would really be better off going back to their ancestral or lands of their birth, and you put in an incentive structure, how many would take advantage of that? We don't exactly know. So that's one thing. There's a lot of things we need to do, and we don't know exactly how much we're going to get out of it. Is it going to be enough? And here's one other thing. You could have a situation, for instance, Russia, after the breakup of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, great Russians made up maybe 55% of the population of the Soviet Union. There were a lot of Muslims. Of course, there's Ukrainians and Estonians and Azerbaijanis and Armenians and all these various groups. And after the breakup of the Soviet Union, the rump Russian Republic was up to about 75% Russian. But whereas the ethnic Russians were in the Soviet Union, they were considered the big brother nation. They were actually given a special place in the Soviet Union culturally, the Russian language and history. It was given a priority, at least it was in the last few decades. After the breakup of the Soviet Union, during the 1990s, you had a tiny Jewish oligarchy take over the Russian Republic. And so even though the ethnic Russian makeup of the new state was greatly increased, their power was actually massively decreased, and they underwent a demographic collapse, falling birth rates, skyrocketing death rates. And so, you know, you could foresee you could have a situation where whites or Britons or whoever are the overwhelming majority in a country, but the country's still not run for them. And you could also envision a situation where you have a very substantial, say, non-white or non-British minority, but it's a minority that honors, that accepts the state as being, you know, primarily the vehicle of its traditional majority, and you know, doesn't try to undermine it. And of course, you can see in Britain, for instance, just the different behavior of, say, Indians versus Pakistanis. And so it's not just a numbers game. There's quantity, but there's also quality. So I'm going to toss it back over to you. What do you think about those points?
Well, I think the first thing that we really have to say about the policies we're going for is they're not just about giving migrants money to return home, because I'm often mischaracterized when I say that, and people often mock the figures that I'm talking about, because I'll say we'll give them £15,000 per passport holder to leave, so a family of four would go back to their country of origin with £60,000. And some people are like, well, £60,000? £60,000?
That would go a long way in Pakistan, wouldn't it? I think would go a long way in Pakistan.
But they also say, that's nothing compared to what they get here. You know, are you a complete fool? They get free housing, free healthcare, free education, free interpreters.
And so what do you say about that? What do you say about that?
I say we're taking those things back. I say, our offer is, there are no more freebies. There are nothing. You are not getting interpreters. If you haven't paid into the NHS, you are not getting healthcare. If you want to send your children to school and they don't speak English, they will be sent home. We are not handing everything to you on a plate. We are not giving you priority housing. We are not giving you endless benefits. You're not coming here not speaking a word of English, sitting on benefits in a council house, as your children get schooled in their own language at our expense, and your wife gives birth to umpteen children with an interpreter sat at her side who's charging the state £60 an hour. It is not happening. And once all of those things have been stripped back, financially, these people would be far better off taking my scheme, taking the money and running. And they would be far better off back in somewhere like Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Somalia or Libya with £60,000, £75,000, whatever it is, however many of them they take back with them. In fact, whole areas of towns or cities may leave together. You may have hundreds of thousands of people leaving at the same time. And I know what people will say to that as well. Well, you know, you're talking about paying out billions. You're talking about giving away billions to these people. How could we afford it? Well, number one, Britain gives away billions every year in foreign aid, which is something we would definitely be cutting back on. But most importantly, if you look at the savings we would be making as a nation by taking back our housing stock, by taking back the benefits we give these people, by saying no to interpreters, by not giving people access to our healthcare system if they haven't paid in, that £15,000 a year might seem costly in the first year, but by the time you get to the second year, it's paid for itself, and by the time you get to the third year, it's paid for itself several times over.
Well, think of the whole idea that Britain was supposed to pay, what was it, 55 billion euros or pounds to the EU for Brexit, just as a divorce settlement. That would be close to 4 million people if you were giving $15,000 per person to move on to greener pastures.
Exactly. You know, when you look at these things, you can see so much money is wasted by the government, billions, on needless schemes, politically correct plans, ways to brainwash children in schools with nonsense they don't need to read, see or hear. All of these things can be trimmed back. And as I already said, this might seem to cost a lot in the first year, but by the second year, it's more than paid for itself. And by the third year of these people being gone, it has paid for itself several times over. Because when you were looking at the benefits gifted to these people in a single year of living in Britain, I am absolutely sure that when you had housing, when you had benefit payments, when you had free council tax, free healthcare, free schooling, when you add all of these things together, that costs more than £15,000 per person. And what we would also see as a result of this is a huge amount of housing stock being freed up. We would no longer need to build on our green belt. We would no longer need to destroy our countryside. And overnight, you would see an absolutely huge increase in the quality of life for normal British people. You would see a huge increase in quality of life in the countryside. And you would see a huge improvement in the environmental management of this country, because we have this absolutely massive problem now where you see dead animals all over the road. The amount of roadkill is appalling. Mm-hmm. You see the last green spaces in cities being destroyed rapidly. You see the green belt, which at one time was meant to be untouchable, being torn up on a daily basis to build new houses. And the motor of the housing market is mass immigration. And I know there will be greedy housing developers out there that will be tutting and saying that I'm worse than the devil because how are they going to make their money? Well, that's not my concern. We will have so many empty homes and so many areas that have been run down. Rather than building new homes out in the countryside, we should be getting rid of these people. We should be freeing up housing stock. And if that housing stock is not fit for purpose, these developers should be put to work bulldozing it, renovating areas, and ensuring that these run-down slum areas are turned into livable, decent homes for British people, which then can be sold. Rather than the extortionate rate these houses are sold in the suburbs, in the countryside, and in the greenbelt, which should never have been touched, these new homes built on old brownfield sites, these renovated areas, should be provided to British families and to British couples wishing to start families at discounted rates. So that if we have this population problem that our ministers claim that we have. If we have this aging population, incentives should be given to our own people to have babies. And one of those incentives should be affordable housing. And when I say affordable housing, I don't mean council houses. I mean houses that young couples can afford. Grants should be given to them. The government should help them with the cost of those homes. And if needs be, say young couples are given £50,000 allowances to help them buy homes, for every child these young couples have, £12,500 could be knocked off that grant, up to, obviously, four children when the grant is erased. So if we have a problem with an ageing population, we should be incentivising our young people to have children and providing them with the means to bring up their children in stable family homes.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of... These are all very practical things. Things that can be done. And you don't know exactly how many people would be incentivized to leave, how many British people would be incentivized to have children, but it would move things in a more positive direction, right? There's going to be a certain amount of people who wind up staying. Some people would be more assimilable. Some people would, like, for instance, the guy, that Christian chauvinist, what was he, the Christian supremacist Indian guy or half-Indian guy who was...
Ralph. My debate, yes.
So, you know, so he's half-Indian. I don't know if he's got an English wife. He's an English wife, then he has a quarter Indian children. And they might wind up being perfectly assimilable. He doesn't seem like he's trying to overthrow rip up the basic fabric of England, the guy with the oversized yarmulke and the red beard who was saying that he's more British looking than you, he might be, I don't know if he's more British looking than you, but he is trying to rip up the fabric of Britain, and so are a lot of the bearded imams. Some of them might wind up being left over, but what can be done? Because it's not going to be a perfect cleansing. There are going to be both a certain amount of assimilable and a certain amount of non-assimilable people left. What are some other things that can be done? You say pass a law that would proclaim Britain to be the nation state of the traditional British people. What can be done to make sure that the British people feel confident in expressing their national pride, and B, that that non-British people who are left in Britain will wind up living in such a way that they're not undermining the British people, the nature of Britain. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the first thing to answer is what you said is, you said you wouldn't be sure if this was going to work or how effective it is. And I think with any plan, with any legislation that's being brought in, it's not about having assurances that it's going to work. It's about bringing something in that aims to address the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that everything that I've said this evening really are pretty sensible schemes. They're pretty sensible ideas, pretty sensible policy recommendations. But most notably, all of these policy recommendations are used elsewhere in the world. We have the nation state law, which is used in Israel. We have the putting families first, putting indigenous families first legislation, which is found in Hungary. And you have the voluntary repatriation scheme, which is seen all over the world. In fact, notably, that is also seen in Israel. Mm-hmm. They are paying Ethiopian migrants to leave. They're giving them grants to leave because they don't want them there. And we're not just plucking ears out of a hat. This isn't fantasy land stuff. This isn't like, well, we're going to march to power, we're all going to get into the streets, and when we've got to the streets, we're going to wave our banners, we're going to march on City Hall, and as soon as we've taken City Hall, we are then going to arm the militia, and we're going to sort things out. It's not fantasy world stuff, it's not LARPing. This is about setting genuine legislation that could actually work, but most importantly, legislation that's based on successful legislation used elsewhere in the world.
Okay, well, that's all very interesting. We are coming up on our third and final break, but we will be back with more of this interesting discussion with Mark Collett. Oh, we're going into the next break, so we'll get with the thing after the next break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we are back. So we just have a few minutes left. Do you have something going on this weekend, Mark?
I do, in fact. I do. I am off camping. It is my second annual camp for viewers of of our show, our weekly show, Patriotic Weekly Review. We had one last year, and we limited it to around 12 people because we just wanted to test the water, to see if people wanted to come, get a small group together, keep it quite intimate, and have a bit of a hike, go to the English countryside, and get people out doing something active. But it was so popular and so well received, and so many people said, God, I wish I'd have gone to that, that this year it's grown absolutely, massively. In fact, this year we're expecting three times those numbers. We have people just coming for the hike on the day, we've got people camping, we've got people staying in B&Bs, and we are having a really, really, what looks like it's going to be a really good event. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping the weather holds, because we've had a lot of rain here over the last few weeks. But I think this should be a model that other people use, because it's great doing these shows, and it's great spreading so many red pills and spreading the truth on the internet, but it's so vitally important that we get people together, and when we do get people together, that we do something healthy and uplifting. And there's nothing more healthy and uplifting than getting people out in nature, doing a bit of hiking, doing a bit of camping, having a bit of barbecue, and making some new friends within the nationalist sphere.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I'm part English and part Irish, the thing is, growing up, I was exposed to a lot of English stuff. You know, Winnie the Pooh, just reading, hearing, not Disney, but the original Winnie the Pooh stories, and they, you know, or Alice in Wonderland, they take place in the British countryside, and then, you know, seeing some of these British comedies like Keeping Up Appearances was Hyacinth Bouquet, and they're always they're always riding around in the countryside, or even the black and white TV with Simon Templar, the saint, driving around. I always had more of a feel for Britain, and the first time I ever went there, it was really kind of spooky. It was some sort of like coming home to the ancestral homeland. I would love to go and be in the British countryside. Do you have any people coming from overseas?
I don't think we do, but if we had anyone coming from overseas, Patrick, I would like it to be you.
Well, I will try to make it maybe in a year or two. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be a fantastic. Imagine that. We could start the week with a discussion of what we were going to do. Friday, you could fly in, spend the weekend with us, and Monday we could give a full breakdown for listeners of the show.
Well, that would be a lot of fun. Okay, and last thing before we go, Wednesday, you have your weekly Patriotic Weekly Review podcast, and who's going to be the guest?
This week we have our good friend Greg Johnson, and it's actually his first time on Patriotic Weekly Review. He was obviously a regular guest on This Week on the Alt-Right, but since we've rebranded, he hasn't been on yet. So a very welcome guest, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it too. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to you coming back again next week, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Boomer Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.